package that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, but I am rich and I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the doors, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. And to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church at Grace. Hallelujah. 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 Sekire mambo rosso como robo refistike bata. No so como bobo rafa sekeliato. Je la bobo bobo rafa saka. Oh rafa tarabasoko. So when will you be ready? If not now, when will you be ready? Next week, next week, next month, next year, when will you be ready? When will you be ready to give your all? When will you be ready to stir up the fire of God? When will you be ready to give your all to God? When will you be ready to pray and to fast and to seek the Lord God for this generation? If not now, when will you be ready? Ask the Spirit of the living God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Sekiria turabosuko. Ilavasuko. You may be seated. I want to share with you tonight about marking a generation. Marking a generation. I want to tell you, church, I do not take lightly the word of the Lord. And I trust that you do not either. But I want to tell you something. There is a stirring that's been in my heart for some time. And I'm going to tell you what. God's word to this church is, it's time to get off the fence and get committed. Amen. And I know I may be preaching to the choir, but listen. I want to tell you what. Listen, you stir yourself up and you help me stir up the others. Amen. Amen. There's about 100 here on Sunday. Where are they on Wednesday night? Listen, I don't know about you, but I didn't uproot my life and come here and make this kind of commitment just so that we could go through the same old thing. Okay? So I want to share with you about marking a generation. Anybody in here serious? I mean, you're serious. I mean, you're not just playing around. You're serious. Okay? Because, I'm a nice guy, but I'm going to tell you what. Nice ain't going to get it. Okay? And I'm telling you, I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. Amen. Okay, so I want you to make sure you hear. Marking a generation. I want you to look. Turn in 1 Corinthians 2. We're going to read a couple of portions of Scripture. And then I want to share some things with you. Marking a generation. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. Unless we wake up in the church. Of course, I'm speaking to Grace. But in the church as a whole. And here at Grace, I'm speaking to Grace because I'm the pastor here. I'm not the pastor of the whole church. But this applies to a lot of the church. I'm going to tell you what, unless we wake up and quit playing games and quit playing church and quit going through just some nice little stuff, I'm going to tell you what, you better get ready. Listen, you know, worst thing that can happen is for you to be playing games when God is ready to move. If you don't believe it, ask Ananias and Sapphira. I mean, here was God. God was moving. The Spirit of God was moving mightily, and they were there playing little games with God. Remember? Yeah. And I'm telling you what, the judgment of God came on them. And it's not just that. I'm going to tell you what. You get around where there's people are hungry and God's moving and the Spirit of God begins to move and you're just playing around. I'm going to tell you what. I remember when I played football years ago, the worst thing you could do was to be kind of trotting along and being half-hearted on the field during a play, because I'm going to tell you what, somebody on the other side was going to come by and clean your plow. And you're going to say, what was the number of that truck? Because I'm going to tell you, when you get in a place where people start getting hungry for God, we start crying out to God, don't you think the enemy is just going to sit by and just let, oh, that's okay, you know. I know you can't help it. You're in that church with that crazy pastor, but you know, you're all right. I'm going to tell you what, we got to get serious if we want to mark a generation. Because I'm going to tell you what, I don't know about you, but you know what? From last Wednesday to this Wednesday, I'm a week older. How about you? I don't have much. I don't have the time to play around. How about you? I don't have time to wait and say, okay, one of these days. Listen, one of these days is today. It's time for us to get moving. I want to talk about marking a generation, and it's going to require the move and the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I must be in the wrong church. I thought it said grace out on the sign when I came in. 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 4 and 5, notice Paul speaking here. He says, and my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. On God's power. I want to tell you something, Grace. You know what's going to make a difference here? You know why? How we're going to be able to mark a generation? You know what's going to be the difference of whether or not this church grows and moves on, or we shut the doors and somebody else takes over the property or something? I'm going to tell you, it's going to have to do with whether or not we get hungry enough to pursue God to the degree it takes, so that we have the touch of God, the power of God, as Paul said here, so that what? Our ministry is not just like everybody else's. If we're duplicating, if we're just going to duplicate what everybody else is doing, why don't we just go join them, amen, and just go do what they're doing? Unless we feel that God has called us and we have a specific mission, a specific vision, and a specific purpose, then listen, let's just go join somebody else and do the same thing they're doing. They're having services, we're having services. They're preaching, we're preaching. If that's all we're going to do, we're redundant. Thank you for your enthusiasm. You know, here's the thing. I'm not here, you know, to make everybody happy. You probably figured that out by now, haven't you? Listen, he said, I want a demonstration. Listen, church, one of the things that God's put on my heart, I've told you this from the day one I've got here, even before I got here. I told this to the elders. We're going to have a supernatural church. Amen. But I want to tell you what, one person can't make that happen. We're going to have to, all of us are going to have to make that commitment and have that desire. And listen, if you don't desire a supernatural church, you're in the wrong place. That's right. I love you. God bless you. We're glad that you're here. But if you don't want a supernatural church, if you don't want the move of God, if you don't want the touch of God, if you don't want to see the power of God demonstrated, then, you know, God bless you. But, you know, this is not the church for you. Because this is what I'm committed. You're going to get tired of hearing me talk about this. You're going to get tired of hearing me talk about fasting and prayer. Because it's going to take something for us to have that kind of touch of God upon our lives. Can I hear a holy grunt with somebody? Amen. Listen to this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. How many of you believe that we're supposed to be a supernatural church? What does that mean? Does that mean that we just talk about being a supernatural church? Does that mean the pastor just preaches about it? Does that mean we all just amen, nod our heads like the bobblehead in the back of a car, you know? Yeah. You know, here's the thing. We say we're full gospel, we're Holy Ghost people. Then you know what? We need to demonstrate it. We need to demonstrate it. And I want to tell you what. If we don't have enough of God to get us in church, then we are kidding ourselves to say we're going to mark a generation. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen, church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. Listen to this. He said, because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power and with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. Notice he said with power and with the Holy Spirit. Well, I want to know something, church. Where is the power in the Holy Spirit? Let's be honest with ourselves. Where is it? That's the question we have to ask about our life. Where is it in our life? If it's not in my life, when we come together, it's not going to be in the church. It's not going to be in a service. We got to look at ourselves and say, hey, you know what? Is the power of the Holy Spirit being demonstrated in my life? And if it's not, we need to be honest with ourselves. And we need to say, okay, well, why not? These crazy preachers all excited. I don't care. One thing, either y'all going to get hot with me or I'm going to run you off. One of the two. I hope you get hot. Amen. Listen, I'm not laying down my life just so we can just have some nice little services. Is that what you want? Because you need to let me know. Because if it is, I'm in the wrong place. One of us is. Listen. I want to look at some individuals. You know, we're talking about marking a generation. The only way we're going to do it is in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to look at some individuals. Turn over to Judges chapter 6. I want to look at some individuals here. And maybe we need to get a clarified snapshot, picture, image, vision of what does it look like? What does a person look like that is moving in the supernatural? What does it look like when an individual has the Spirit of God upon them? Judges chapter 6. Look in verse 33. This is, of course, about Gideon. You know about Gideon. It says, now the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern people joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, the shofar, summoning the Abrazites to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout Manasseh and calling them to arms, and also to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali. So they too went up to meet him. Now I want you to notice something. Here is Gideon. And you know, Gideon here is called to be a judge. He's called, and it was a time here when Gideon was a judge. It was a time when the enemy of God, they just came in whenever they wanted to. They ransacked Israel. They robbed Israel. They stole the crops. They did whatever they want to. You can read during Gideon's time. Listen, all the enemies had come in and stolen and had imposed on the Israelites, the people of God, that they had to give up all their weapons. Read it over there if you don't know about it. There wasn't one sword left in the land. Wasn't one spear left in the land. There wasn't one shield left in the land. What had happened? They had given them all up to the enemy. And I submit that the same thing has happened in a large part to the church right now. We do not have a sword anymore. If we do, it's been oiled and wrapped and put away somewhere in the trunk. Because why are we not using the sword of the Lord? Where is the sword of the Lord? Where is the shield of faith? Where is the power of God again in the church? And it says here, it says the Spirit of God came upon Gideon. It says he blew the trumpet. That word trumpet there is the shofar. And you know that shofar was also blown at one other time, one other special time. And that you'll find in Leviticus 25. That was on the Day of Atonement in the year of Jubilee after the sacrifice had been made. It said the priest stood up and he blew the shofar. You know what that said? Jubilee is here. Liberty for all the land is here. And then when the Spirit of God, the anointing of God came on Gideon, what did he do? He grabbed up that shofar and he blew that thing and he said, it's time for liberty in the land. It's time for the people of God to take up the sword again, to take up the shield of faith and to go to war. And I want to tell you what, if the Spirit of God is upon us in the church now, where are the men and women of war? Too often we're the men and women of comfort. We want it easy. We want it light. The first time the enemy comes against us, oh, we get all upset and all uptight. And we think maybe if we're quiet, he won't notice me. I got news for you. You won't be the first one. It'll be loudmouths like me. But I'm going to tell you what. If the loudmouths are attacked, don't think you're going to escape. Isn't that right? And I'm going to tell you what. You better have your sword sharp. You better have it. It better be a two-edged sword. It better be sharp. It better be ready. You better have the shield of faith. You better be ready. And when the Spirit of God falls, you know what you'd be? Man, you're going to stand up and you're going to declare and you're going to blow your shofar. You know what the shofar is for us? It's the gospel. We declare, bless God, Jesus is the Christ. He is the way. He is the Savior. He is the healer. He's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. He is a deliverer. And we are not ashamed to say it. I want to tell you, you want to see the power of God move in your life? Then you don't be embarrassed to blow the shofar. Let a holy boldness come on you. Here's the thing. We don't have enough spirit. We're intimidated by everybody. Come on. We're intimidated by those. Oh, careful, Pastor, now you're going to get some people upset. Some people need to get upset. Some people need to get upset. I hope I do make you mad. Mad enough to go look in the book. Mad enough to go in prayer. Get to talking to God about straightening out the pastor. And then while he's straightening me out, he'll straighten some things out with you too. Isn't that right? So here's the thing. Listen, we got to get a, when the Spirit of God is on you, what? There is a boldness that comes on you to blow that shofar. Are you listening?
Amen.
Now listen, God moved on Gideon. When he blew that shofar, eventually what? There were 300 that said, "We're with you, Gideon." Are you listening?
Yeah.
Now you know it started out with 22,000, didn't it? Woo! Man, hallelujah. Don't you know when he blew that thing and he saw the 22,000, I can just hear him, Rick, if it'd been nowadays, you know, modern day preacher, he'd say, "Bless God, yeah. Look at this church, 22,000. Woo! God said, you're not ready yet to go to war. Why? Because a whole lot of them weren't ready to go to war. And God thinned it on down and he thinned it on down. You know the story. Finally got to what? 300. You know what 300 stands for in the Bible? The faithful remnant. And listen, God is on. Listen, God's doing that here at Grace. He you know, listen. He's going to find out, you know, who's ready for war and who's not. Remember he said over there, he said, let all the fearful do what? Come on. Listen, you want to follow God? You want to give God all? I'm going to tell you what. It's not without price. If I told you that, I'd be lying to you. It's not without commitment. And I want to tell you what. It's not going to be no lackadaisical commitment. Sunday go to meeting, commitment ain't going to get it. Good preaching, Pastor. Well, David encouraged himself. I think I'm going to have to encourage myself too. So here he is. Here's the thing. The rallying cry goes out. And what is it? There are 300 that are ready for war. Glory to God. And here's the thing. I want the Spirit of God to be on us so that, you know, on this church, so that what? We draw by the Spirit of God the 300 that God has for here.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about a literal number. But I'm talking about the 300 that are ready for war, that are ready to give it their all, that are ready to commit to God, that are ready to mark a generation.
Amen.
Remember Isaiah? Remember when God called him over in Isaiah 6? God asked this question. He said, "Who shall we send? And who will go for us?" Remember what Isaiah said? "Not me, Lord." And ducked down behind the pew. No. What did he say? "Here am I, Lord. Send." You know what? Isaiah didn't have a clue what he was getting into when he said that. He didn't know what was going to happen. You know, all the accounts is, you know, Isaiah ended up, you know, getting stuck in a log and cut in two. Read over there in Hebrews 11. He was sawn in sunder. That was most all the biblical scholars say that's referring to Isaiah. Ooh, man, I know he didn't have no faith. He couldn't have been a man of faith and power to get killed like that. Listen, what are we saying? If we want to face a wicked generation, if we want to mark a generation, It's going to take a level of commitment that, frankly, we haven't understood yet.
Amen.
I said, Pastor, you're scaring me. Good. At least you'll know what you're getting into. Yeah. Amen. Come on. Yeah. Y'all looking at me like a cow at a new gate. Oh, who put a bee in his bonnet? Listen, let's get on with it. Let's get on with it. Man, let's have a spirit like Isaiah where we say, God, you know, we don't know what we're getting into. I understand that. But here's the thing. Isn't that what faith is all about? Say, God, here I am. Look at Mitch and Paulette, man, uprooted their whole life and moved down here to hook up with a crazy hollering preacher. You know? God moved the Greens down here, all the way down from Ocala down here. Same thing. Here's the thing, church. God is speaking. We have to have ears to listen. We've got to be ready, just like Gideon. When the Spirit of God begins to fall, we have that response like Gideon. We're going to sound the horn. We're going to be like Isaiah's commitment. Lord, here I am. Send me. Bless God, brother. I'm ready to go. How about you? Bless God. I'll be a Green Beret for God. How about you? You be special ops, man.
Sure.
Bless God. I hear you, brother. I'm with you. You're my kind of guy. I like that. Listen, that's where, listen, I'm talking about, you say, what's this got to do with the supernatural? Everything. Yeah. You think you're going to have the supernatural if you just got a half-baked commitment? Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's convenient, if we feel like it, we'll do it. And if it's not, we won't. And, I'm kind of tired, God. I can't make it to church. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine Jesus saying, God, I'm kind of tired. I can't carry this cross up to Calvary. Mm-hmm. Listen. We're going to have to do, we used to say this in football, excuse me for this, a little crude, ladies, but excuse me, but it's down to the point, gut check. Amen? Listen, we got to have somebody that begins to say, God, I'm ready. Bless God, and whether I'm ready or not, I'm willing. Here I am, God, get ready for me. Turn over to Judges 14. Let's look at another person here that you're familiar with, Judges 14, verse 5, it says, as they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward Samson. Woo! But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in power, so that he tore the lion apart. That's a different testimony in a lot of Christians, isn't it? The lion came out and ate him up. What does that remind you of? What did Peter say over there in 1 Peter? He said, your adversary goes about as a what? A roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour. And I'm going to tell you what. If we are not moving in the supernatural power of God, in the Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you what. You are one of those that he may devour. You know, when the lion jumps on you, is not the time to try to figure out how to wrestle a lion. And it's too late to try to call up a lion tamer, a.k.a. the pastor. Come tame these lions. I got lions here at the house. But you know what? We need to have the... Says the Spirit of the Lord came on him. Well, listen, we need some Samsons to deal with some lions. Amen. Listen, in our generation, I know probably every generation has said this, and it was probably true because the Bible teaches us that the working, this mystery of iniquity, the working of sin, it is progressive. How many of you know that?
Sure.
That means what? It gets worse and worse with every generation. Mm-hmm. Unless there's some righteous leaven. Unless there's something introduced into that generation.
Right.
Are you listening?
Yeah.
Why did Sodom and Gomorrah fail? Why did judgment come down on them? Because there wasn't even 10 righteous, 10 people who had the power of God, right standing with God. There wasn't even 10 in 2 whole city states. And we are facing in our generation such battles, such an onslaught of darkness like no generation has ever seen. One of the reasons is because it's so much easier and faster to proliferate it. You got satellites, you got the internet, you got cable TV, you got cell phones, you got all this stuff, all this technology. So it can proliferate. Something can happen today, boom, it can be around the world in less than a day. Easily. Less than an hour, probably. And so there is that working of iniquity. And what is our answer? Is it going to be, we're just going to change this set of politicians for this set of politicians. That'll do it. You know, the Republicans didn't do it, so we'll put in the Democrats. But you know, it's funny. Those of us have been alive long enough, we've heard that every other election, haven't we? The Democrats didn't do it, so we put in the Republicans. It looks like we'd figure out after a while, neither one of them going to get it done. Isn't that right? So here's the thing. Where is the church in this? We come into our walls. We do our little thing. Well, whatever it is. We go through our service. We feel better about ourselves. And we go home and nothing changes. Thank you, Gene. I'm with you, brother. Listen, we need some Samsons to tear up some lions. You know, I've shared with you, I was reading, one of my favorite recent movies is the one about Amazing Grace with Wilberforce. And I want to tell you, the lion in his day was slavery. And you know, here was a man, he stood up against that single-handedly with God. But here's the thing, you know, there are lions in our day too. There are things that need to be confronted. The spirit of darkness has taken over this generation. Our young people. You know, and you know, it's come into marriages. It's come against families. It's come against everything. And where has been the church? Well, we do petitions. We have rallies. And all that may be good. But I want to tell you, where is the power of God? Where is the power of God that shakes a city, that shakes a nation? Where is the power of God? Where will there be the people that will stand up and say, you know what, we need revival. We need the move of God. We need the touch of God again. We need the Spirit of God to move in our lives, in our homes, in our churches, in our nation. Amen. But listen, if the Spirit of God's not moving in the church, where is He going to move? Where will he find it? You know what he's looking for? He's looking for some Isaiahs. He's looking for some Gideons. He's looking for some Samsons who will be willing vessels and say, God, here I am. I'm willing to stand up with the 300 and blow the trumpet. I'm willing to stand up. And when the lion comes out, allow your spirit to anoint me and defeat the lion. Amen. We got to demonstrate it. How many of you remember Saul? Remember Saul? King Saul? In 1 Samuel 10, I want to read something here about Saul 6. How many of you know Saul started out good? And you know, here's the thing. One of the lessons about Saul is this. Is we learn this. Listen carefully. The finish is more important than the start. The finish is more important than the start. Notice here, 1 Samuel 10, I'm going to read verses 6 and then verse 10. It said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in what? Power. You know, we're full gospel people and we talk about and boast about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and everything. But I want to tell you, when the Spirit came on these people, one of the things that was always associated with the Spirit was not just tongues. It was power. Amen. It was anointing. Yes. It was divine enablement. Yes. for whatever they were facing in their generation. Whether it was to rule, whether it was to drive out the enemy, whether it was to defeat the lions of their generation. Whenever the Spirit of God came upon God's people, there was always an accompanying power to accomplish something. Not just power to make us feel good. Not just power to give us goosebumps. Not just power that make us fall down on the carpet. Nothing wrong with all that. That's fine. But I'm going to tell you, there's more to it than that. Amen. He said, he's going to come upon you in power and you will prophesy. Prophesy. That is divine, inspirational speaking forth. Where is that in the church? Where is that in the church? You know, Paul wrote and he talked, he said, all of you, speaking to all the believers at Corinth. So if it's true for all the believers at Corinth, it's true for all the believers at Grace. He said, all of you may prophesy. In other words, speak by what? Divine unction and inspiration. Speak forth by the word of God. Not an echo. Not a, you know, last year's word, but a fresh word. What is the Spirit saying right now? When the Spirit came on Saul, it said he what? He prophesied. Now, Saul hadn't gone to Ramah. Hadn't gone for Christ for the Nations. He hadn't gone to Southeastern. He hadn't gone to, you know, whatever seminary. He hadn't gone to any of those things, but when the Spirit came on him with power, one of the first things he began to do was what? Prophesy. He began to speak forth the word of the Lord. And here's the thing. Where is the word of the Lord for today? Where is the word of the Lord? Where is the word of the Lord? Where's the word of the Lord for your life, for your family? Do you have a fresh word from God? Do you have a word that God has spoken to you? I want to tell you what, without this spirit of prophecy upon our lives, without the freshness of the Word of God for our lives, I'm going to tell you something. You will be defeated. Last year's word was great for last year's battle. But I'm going to tell you, you're facing a new battle. You're facing a new obstacle. Amen. And what we've got to do is stir ourselves up to hear a fresh word from God.
Yeah. Amen.
A fresh word from God. Because you see, says the Lord, when the word of the Lord comes to you and it's fresh and it's new, it's going to bring life, it's going to bring energy, and it's going to bring vitality. And you've been going through some things, and the Spirit of God knows that. And the enemy is trying to get you to doubt and to waver. But here's what the Lord says. You get a fresh word because the Spirit of God is going to come on you afresh and anew. And there's going to be a fresh anointing and a fresh word that's going to be for you today and what you're facing. Now listen, that can be true for all of us. What's the difference between victory and defeat? The spirit of prophecy on us. You know, we get into prayer. We get into prayer. We get into our prayer closet. We get with God. We get with the Word of God. We begin to pray and to cry out to God. And all of a sudden there rises up again a Word of the Lord that comes to us. And when the Word of the Lord comes, there is an anointing. There is power. And there is a freshness. And you know what? It's for today's battle. It's for today's battle. It's for today's battle. And I want to tell you something, Grace. That's what we need to seek in our lives individually. And we need to seek it as a church body. What is God saying to Grace? Oh, it's wonderful what God has said, but what is He saying? What is He saying? Isn't that true? Revelation is progressive. How many of we know that? Amen? God reveals Himself progressively to us, doesn't He? And so it's wonderful what I do know and have discovered about God. But here's the thing. It's progressive. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to say it this way. New levels, new devils. Mm-hmm. And with new levels, we need a fresh word. We need to be like, just like Saul here. It says, when the Spirit of God came on him with power, what? He began to what? Prophesy.
Yeah.
And he says, and you will be changed into a different person. If we are not being changed, we do not have the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. I heard a preacher years and years ago now, and he talked about this. I mean, he was bragging about it, that he hadn't, not one thing in his life at that time, in 30 years, he hadn't changed one thing he preached. I thought, dear God, you stopped growing 30 years ago. I mean, he's bragging about it. As if he had discovered 30 years ago the full counsel of God and there was nothing else to be known. Lordy. But you know what? We may not say it just that way, but sometimes what? Our actions say the same thing. Amen. We're not committed to get with God and get a fresh word. Get a fresh word for our lives, for our battle, for our church, for our generation. What's the word of the Lord? Listen, do you know one word from God can turn your complete situation around? I'm talking about marking a generation, and it's not going to happen except in the power of the Spirit. You remember the story, I've alluded to it before, over in Samaria. Remember they were being they were surrounded by the enemy. Remember that? They were in the middle of a famine. Plus they were being besieged by an enemy to the point to where, you know, one woman, you know, told the other woman, you know, let's eat my child today and tomorrow we'll eat yours. Remember that? How bad it was. It was so desperate. It was so bad. I mean, nobody had an answer. They cried out to the king. The king says, I don't have the answer. But there was what? There was somebody that had the power and the touch of God. And the prophet stood up and he said, by this time tomorrow, you can go and buy all the fine flour, all the oil, everything you're going to need. It's going to be here. And I mean, boy, nothing looked further from the truth. Come on. But you know the story. God moved on four lepers to get up and head toward the enemy. Four lepers. You think they felt strong? You think they felt mighty? You think they felt powerful? You think they felt capable? No. But you know what? They were willing. Everybody else was holed up. But here they go. The least likely warriors. They got up and they started moving, and it said that God caused a sound to come, and the enemy thought, man, they've hired, you know, the Egyptians' army, and here they come after us, and they left, and they left all their stuff and all the spoils and all the food and everything. And you know what? The word that God spoke came true, didn't it? What? One word from God, is what I'm saying, can turn your situation around. One word from God can turn around a church, a family, a life, and I believe even a nation. But here's the thing. Somebody has got to have the Spirit of God to come on them, just like Saul, and want to be changed into a different person. Desiring to be. For the Spirit of God to move through us and speak a fresh word into a situation. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of praying for people 75 times to get something. Sorry if we just be honest, isn't it? And you know, we've got, you know, there's one cable show, you know, and they talk about, you know, you've entered the no spin zone. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Christians, we are great at spinning it. Am I in the right place? Well, if anybody ought to say you're in the no spin zone, it ought to be the Christians, because we ought to be honest and truthful and bring it out, hadn't we? But a lot of times, here's the thing, because there's no power. We got the form. Oh, man, we got the form. We know how to lay hands. We can pray 75 ways to nothing. Isn't that right? Quote the scriptures. Say amen at the right place. Bubble bashunda when we need to. I'm not making fun of that, but here's the thing. Listen, Paul warned us, didn't he, in the last days? He said, be careful of those who have a form of godliness but don't have any power. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of having a form without no power. I'm tired of just having church. Just like last week and week before and week before and week before and month before and year before. And just like grandma had it. Well, you know, I wish we'd go back to some of those services grandma had. Had some power going forth. Isn't that right? So here's the thing. Notice this, that Saul, in his own natural person, he was a very timid person, wasn't he? Remember that? He hid among the stuff. You know? God said, you're going to be king. He said, no. And, you know, that's the thing. We got a lot of timid believers in the body. You know, some crazy preacher gets up and says, bless God, you have authority in Jesus Christ. You've been made righteous. You are a son of God. You're in charge. Oh, that's not me. Huh? Come on. But it says when the Spirit of God came upon Saul, what happened? The Spirit changed him into a king. Glory to God. We need some kings in the body of Christ. Not some theological kings, not some kings by title, but we need some sure enough, actual power, authority, bold kings and queens exercising supernatural authority and power. And he says that didn't happen until the Spirit came on him. Listen, the Spirit of God changes you into a different person. Some of us have allowed ourselves to get in to a rut, a spiritual rut. Now, you remember what my definition of a rut is, don't you? It's a grave with both ends knocked out. That's a rut. Because you stay in the rut long enough and you will become dead. A dead head. And your fire will go to just to where you got some embers there. But here's the thing. If we want to see God move, we have to have the Spirit of God touch us. My time's up. How many give me just a couple of more minutes here? That's all I need. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Begin with verse 13. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Now, wait a minute. He's talking about apostles here. Unschooled, ordinary men. Man, that means there's hope for me, brother. Unschooled, ordinary men. Just unschooled, ordinary men. Notice what it says here. They were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and conferred together. What are we going to do with these men, they asked. Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle and we cannot deny it. That's what I'm talking about. And this, listen, these are ungodly, worldly, religious people talking. Marking a generation. Paul said, I did not come to you with eloquence of speech or persuasive words of men's wisdom, but he said, I came to you in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. Now, here's the thing, church. If we want the results that they got, we're going to have the Spirit upon us as they did. We've got to get past our easy believism, our faith of convenience. If it doesn't cost me too much, Pastor, I'm willing to do it. You know, but you know, if you make it too hard on us, well, here's the thing. You have to decide. I can decide for myself. You have to decide for yourself. What do you want? Will you commit yourself to it? Will you give yourself to it? Real quick, let me finish with this. What must we do? What must we do? Now that seems like a honest question, doesn't it? What must we do? After all this hooping and hollering and everything. What must we do? Boy, this is going to seem so simple. But first of all, live close to God. Live close to God. If there's anything that you're more intimate with, spend more time with than God, then something's wrong. Now, I'm not talking giving up your job. You understand. But here's the thing. I'm talking about, you know, usually for most people, it's not the J-O-B, you know. It's that time in between the J-O-B. That's where we've got to commit. We've got to live close to God. Where are you at in the Word? Where are you at in the prayer? Where are you at in your own individual life? Listen, do you think, you know, has anybody noticed, there's nothing magical about coming in this building. Has anybody noticed anything? I hadn't. Have you? It's just a building, and I used to be a club of some kind or something like that. There's nothing supernatural about just coming in to a building, is there? And here's the thing. I don't know why we got the idea in Full Gospel churches that somehow when we come to church, okay, on Sunday at a certain hour, something supernatural is going to happen just because of that. Listen, the only thing that will happen supernaturally is what we bring when we come in this building. If we don't have the touch of God, if we don't have the Spirit of God on us, if we're not living close to God and we come here in the service, all we're going to be is just a lot more people in the same state. And we're not going to see anything. Everybody's waiting for something to happen in the service. I'm going to tell you what, it's going to happen in your life before it happens in the service. It's going to happen in my life before it happens in the service. So we're going to have to live close to God. I know these are very simple. Two, we got to stay open to the Holy Spirit. Stay open to the Holy Spirit. Stay open to the Holy Spirit. Listen, when's the last time God talked to you and you heard it? Let me put it this way. Let me back up. When's the last time you heard what God was saying to you? Because He's speaking.
That's right.
Huh? When's the last time you got a word from God? When's the last time God spoke to you about your home, your children, your business, your church, your city, about His plan, His purpose? Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. He said, when you all come, he said, you have an insight, you have a revelation, you have a prophecy, you have a song of the Lord. He said, he didn't say, when you all come, you come to get a prophecy, to get a song of the Lord, to get a, no, he said, you come with it. You come with it. I said, you come with it. See, we're waiting. We think something's magical going to happen. We all get together here, you know. And we have some good worship, and about 11, something's going to happen. Come on, let's be real. No, listen, if you bring it, something's going to happen. If you bring the touch of God, if you bring the word of knowledge that's working through you, if you bring the word of wisdom that's working through you, if you bring the gifts of healing that's working through you, if you bring the spirit of prophecy with you, then, as the Spirit wills, there's some willing vessels. There's some ready vessels. Okay, I got one last thing. I got to stop. Third thing. Here's the thing. This attitude that I mentioned with Isaiah has got to be in us. Here I am, Lord. Use me. And like I told you before, when you say that, it's going to cost you. Jesus said it cost you everything. Don't you wish I just said it cost you 80%? He said it's going to cost you everything. Isn't that right? And see, if we're not willing to say, God, I'm ready to give everything. And you know, many times when we say that, God doesn't ask for everything at any one time. But if we're not willing to have that attitude and commitment of heart, God, everything, my life, everything's yours. Then when He does ask us for something, we're not ready. We're not ready to give it. How many of you know that Isaac was a gift of God to Abraham? How many of you know God asked for Isaac back? Many of us, we have faith for God to bless us. But where's our faith to commit like Abraham committed? And unless we have that, church, we're kidding ourselves. The worst thing we can do, and I absolutely close with this, let's kid ourselves. Let's don't fool ourselves. Let's don't trick ourselves. Let's don't live in the Christian spin zone. Let's be really, really honest with ourselves before God. And here's the thing. God would rather us just say, God, you know what? I'm not there yet. I'm not ready to do that. I'm not ready to make that kind of commitment. I'm just not there yet, rather than for us to play games. And stand up and say, okay, yeah, I do it. And then you go out and you don't do it. So I'm not going to ask you to make any kind of commitment here, because that's going to be between you and the Lord. Because I don't want to put you in that position where you feel the pressure. Okay, everybody else is doing it. I need to do it too. No. You need to get by yourself and get open with God and say, God, God, here I am. Like Isaiah. I don't have a clue when I say this what I'm getting myself into. But God, I'm willing. And you know, some of us may just have to come to a place where God, I'm willing to become willing. I've been there. But to make some level of commitment, say, God. Because I'm going to tell you what, church. I want to see God move in our generation. I don't see any other hope. I don't. And it doesn't take the 22,000 to do it. God can do it with the 300, but it's got to be 300 that have looked within themselves and have responded to God and say, here I am, God. I'm willing. Father, I thank you for the word tonight, Lord. Father, I've tried to share it the best way I know how. And Lord, I pray that no one will take offense in any way, because it's not meant that way. But God, I pray that it will stir our hearts. Holy Ghost, stir our hearts. Not only those here hearing the message, but stir the hearts of the people here at Grace. Stir us, O God. Deliver us, O God, from half-heartedness, from passivity. Deliver us, O God, from being half-baked Christians. Deal with our hearts. Lord, let there arise within the church at Grace this attitude and this spirit. Here I am, Lord. Use me. Send me. Lord, raise up the Gideons who will blow the trumpet. Raise up, O God, the Samsons who will take on the lions. Raise up, O God, the Sauls who will allow the word of the Lord to come forth and a new inspiration to come into their lives. Raise them up, O God. Father, I didn't get to mention Mary. Lord, that through her, something supernatural was birthed. Oh God, let that spirit, let that attitude, let that heart be upon us here at Grace, I pray. From the pastor all the way down. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll give you a quick minute here, any of you that would like to give. Give you opportunity to give. The ushers will serve you. Remember what Jesus said? He said, if you give, hallelujah, it's going to be given back to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together. And what's going to happen? It's going to run over, isn't it? Hallelujah. Well, listen, I'm not going to be satisfied till it's running over then. Amen. We're not going to spin it. We're going to, man, you know. Go to God and say, wait a minute, God, I'm giving. What's going on here? One of us, somebody needs to change. Something ain't right. What's going on here? You know, it's rather than just, you know, putting that spin on it. Well, you know, one of these days. Well, I need the blessing today. How about you? I need it running over today. This church needs it running over today. Isn't that right? So let's, man, you know, God's not going to be offended if you get aggressive. In the realm of the Spirit. He likes aggressiveness. Amen? Amen. We've been served up sometime this leftover medieval type of Christianity from the Middle Ages, you know. Yeah. Where it was all this false humility and all this I'm a worm stuff and all that kind of thing, you know. And it's just held over into the church to where, I mean, you know, somebody gets up and starts talking like I do. People think, oh my goodness, he's blaspheming. No, somebody has got to rise up. And tonight, you know, since I'm preaching, I'm blowing the shofar. Man, that's all I'm doing tonight. I'm blowing the shofar. Amen. Let's pray over your giving. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you for the ability to give. Lord, I thank you for those, for their faithful giving, Lord, in this church. Those giving tonight, we just speak the blessing over their offering, Lord. We receive it gladly in Jesus' name. We give it gladly. And Father, I pray. for a stirring up in this area, oh God. That, Father, you said it's going to be given back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God, that's how we want it. No other way. And we give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, guys. I feel like David, I think, when he had that sling. Man, I'm ready to pop a giant. Whoop-ow! Don't you feel that way? I do. You know, that doggone devil. Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet. Sorry, I went over a little bit. It's 8:30. Somebody says, wow, it is. It is. Listen. It's not anything new, but I'm going to tell you what. We have to get stirred down in the depths of our being. You know? Because, listen, who's God going to use? If not us, who? 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 You. Isn't that right? Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the word of the Lord, for the freshness of it, for the stirring of it in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray that this will be in the depth of our being, this will be registered, oh God. And Father, it will be a divine deposit that when we leave here, oh God, it will continue to work in us and to work through us and to bring forth, Father, a fresh move of the Spirit of God in us so that it may flow through us so that we may mark a generation. Not by might and power which we possess, but by your Spirit, O God, may it be done in all of your people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, bless God. Go look for some lions.